Thanks, Chair. We would like to start with the report, and then we'll follow up with the minutes later. Thank you.
Chairperson, may I continue?
You can continue.
First of all, good afternoon, everyone. Nobala, could you give me the right to share this?
All done, colleague, you may carry on.
Could somebody indicate whether it's visible?
Not just yet.
Not yet, sure.
What am I doing wrong? There we go. It should be visible now.
Yes, it is.
Perfect. Members and colleagues, we are not going to be long with the report because this report was sent to members last week. I can't remember what day, whether it was Thursday or Friday. In addition to that, the usual structure of the report is by now well known to members. I'm just leaving the first paragraph and the title there for you. So we are reflecting on what happened for, and what I will do is to here and there do exactly what I'm doing now and just add things if we see something is wrong or something needs to be put in. So what the process is going to be like, it's 20 past five now, is that we are going to just fleetingly go through certain things. The main stuff we need to look at this moment is to look at findings and recommendations. I will stop here and there just to say something, and then the rest we will leave to members to give their input, and then we will make the adjustments so that you can proceed to saying that you considered it and adopting it if you are pleased with it. So we've met on these 3 days and we deliberated on the APPs. And of course, we need to keep in mind that what we are doing is important for us to proceed to the budgetary, to the budget debates. So having said that, I will proceed and page very quickly past most of these things. We won't even really need to look at the budgetary vote allocations. Those are also well known. But the main issues is for us to do a check on whether the strategic outcomes of this department fits in with the policy priorities of the National Development Plan, the economic reconstruction plan of the government, as well as the state of the nation, and then to also say that defeating the corona pandemic, accelerating economic recovery as per the recovery plan are all listed as new aspects of this report. Matters that revealed themselves through oversight over the past 3 years, these are well known to members. These are the matters that came through from our discussions in the quarterly performance reports, as well as in the previous year's budgetary vote report and in the budget review and recommendation report. So I'm just paging down so that we can, I'm just going to list some of them. You'll notice why we're not doing it is because it's a repetition. The lack of control in reporting, the accounting systems, and that has to, the solution for that is apparently SAGE software. the slow progress to get the immovable asset register sorted out. The solution there is the Archibus software. Now, later on, you'll notice in the recommendations that those, in spite of it being stated as solutions, they have not been rolled out, and we will make recommendations in that regard. Of course, the other aspect that so nicely fitted in is that on the Tuesday before, we spoke to the department on the APPs. They gave us their audit action plan to get a clean audit, and that also is factored in. These analytic comments in the ERP, which is the economic reconstruction plan, inside of that plan, there are enablers mentioned that we use in this section to analyze how strongly the APP fits the SONA and the NDP and Vision 2030. And we will notice under these, resource mobilization being one, the analysis of budgetary, our budgetary analysis, I will fix this later, those repetitions don't sound nice. The budgetary analysis section will show that there's not been clear evidence of the full mobilization of resources to programs and sub-programs. And what we're talking about here is the lack of a visionary human resource plan in this department and the PMTE, which is now the institution of choice, where best strategists, technical built environment professionals, economists, property managers, chartered accountants, property lawyers, and property valuers should be employed. We do not see that there is a visionary, innovative human resource plan to get these skills into the PMTE so that we don't only have an immovable asset register that is functional and updated, but that we also are able as a PMTE to trade off the value of the property of government and make a profit. The symbolic statement is a very important thing. I think some members might have heard me speak of this. Symbolic statements versus substantive statements. The tendency is to make symbolic statements that tells you good stories while substantively on the ground at the coalface, it is actually not the truth. Symbolic statements and reasonably sounding explanations are often given for reasons why experienced personnel are not retained rather than concrete proof that every one of its five programs are well-resourced in terms of capacitated staff. What we're saying here is that if you have an economic reconstruction plan that says resource mobilization must be done properly in government and you don't use budgetary resources to employ relevant capacitated staff, then you will not see change, but rather the status quo. Regulatory changes in the supportive environment, policy environment, the white papers review of 97.1 and the 99.1, especially with the CADB and the CBE, the amendment of their acts stood out in today's session as lacking and having the effect of those two struggling. We know the PMT and the department is struggling because of that. So I'm not going to go through all of that, but members are getting the gist of what we are saying in that section, that these enablers that stated in the economic reconstruction plan shows that the department's APPs in terms of its goals and stated targets, they are in line in terms of symbolic value, but not substantively. The budget allocation is as indicated here. We're using the ENE as our source and not necessarily what the department gives. They are the same. I'm not going to go through the budgets, colleagues and members, but in one of the, in the fourth or the fifth year, we're going to have to, and there's just an indication to you that as staff, we will speak more strongly in the fourth and the fifth year on this matter of nominal increase versus real terms allocations, because this is going to have a massive, massive impact in the next few years. And we will speak to it in the fourth year and the fifth year of this term. Chairperson, with your permission, I'm paging members. Apologies for this, for what's happening now, because it's quite hard on the eyes when we do this. Okay, I want to go to the PMTE as the implementing agency and entity of this department. And it is the case since 2015-16. I'm not going through the historical part, but just to say that accommodation-related costs, rather the accommodation, maintenance, and most of the work that the department must do sits with the PMTE. This PMTE, in last year's presentation, members might remember me saying that those 11 regional offices that we have in every province is the footprint of the PMTE. Those are the foot soldiers. That's where the real work takes place. So leasing, the collection of accommodation-related and maintenance costs from every client department needs legislation that enforces client departments to pay those user charges. If this sounds very similar to what happened to the IDT, it is exactly the same thing. And these are user charges, it's project management charges, it's professional property management and construction costs. The PMTE incurs these costs when it delivers the services. Client departments are supposed to pay it back. The problem is the PMTE is unable to collect those fees, very similar to what happened to the IDT. This requires the review of 97 white paper to be completed and for us to get a public works bill that will then enforce the collection ability of the PMTE. I'm not going further there. All of these are related to what I just said. The GIAMA is the act that gives the department the powers to manage and to accommodate property of government. It sets the ambit within which the department, and rather the PMTE these days, do its work. So PMTE Registry Services, that is a branch that should manage the immovable asset register and coordinate user asset management plan and custodian asset management plan. The I inside UIAMPS is just the word immovable. This branch struggles to retain qualified and experienced property specialists. The department consistently report that these positions are being filled. We will hear it all the time. The problem is that from one financial year to the other, the vacancy rate remains high, and you would notice that compensation of employees is not spent. The cursive one refers to the fact that PMTE competes with very, very well-funded property management, private property management and construction companies, and they struggle to attract those people, which is why earlier on I referred to innovative HR plan and visionary plan that's necessary. The real estate investment services of the PMTE looks after the real estate portfolio for the state. This is also one that requires really, really relevantly qualified people. Let me just admit the honorable thing. The immovable asset register, if that is not well managed, then the PMTE cannot invest the portfolio of government property. The value cannot be unlocked. And that's a very important aspect as we carry on doing oversight over the next few years that we must be strict about. Again, let's skip the budget because it is self-explanatory. I'm not going to go through every program of the PMTE. Just to pause, excuse me. This section 5 is practically the noting section. These are matters that emerged from the deliberations between the committee and the DPWI and the PMTE. So I will pause a bit here and give more attention to this and suggest that as we discuss, these are the things that the members need to just make certain appear in the recommendations. The pandemic created a situation where workers do not work in offices anymore. This is going to have an impact. The department mentioned this. We don't, however, see sufficient evidence in the APP in terms of targets, etc., that changes were made to take this into consideration. And we should urge the department to give attention to that. The other aspect that this impacts on is the massive debt that the PMTE faces because of its lack of ability and enforceable mandate to collect user charges, but also the fact that that overdraft of the PMTE is continuing to grow. That aspect of how government buildings are used in future is going to have an impact, and the possibility is that in order to stay afloat, they may have to start selling buildings. The committee stated its concern for the instability in leadership. I'm just going to highlight this because I need to fix that, honourable members. I'm not going to fix it right now. The cases where staff, including deputy directors general, whose contracts were terminated, these were found to be unprocedurally done so by the awards that were given in favor of these staff by the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council, remains a concern. The committee signaled that it was worried about DPWI taking this to the Labor Court for review, and that this would just add to costs incurred from the government's purse. It also raised the concern that the financial administration, supply chain management, and management in general seem to continue to comply consistently with the PFMA and financial regulatory notes that Treasury issued to ensure proper management, administration, and functioning. That's the long outstanding aspect, the long worrying concern of this committee. The issue of agile organization is a matter that the APP keeps stating. This requires the ability to have a system in place that's operated by experienced and well-qualified people, as mentioned earlier on. They should be able to quickly identify problems and make the relevant adjustments to turn these into challenges that are efficiently fixed. And that should happen before the Auditor General says anything. It should happen before the committee says anything. And it should happen before whistleblowers say anything about non-compliance and possible corruption. Unfortunately, the APP doesn't show enough evidence of this agility. Instead, what happens is I hear a list of very positive sounding intentions that were over technical and mostly unclear. And I want to just say that the reason why this is happening is not necessarily the department's fault. It has a lot to do with the Department of Planning and Monitoring and Evaluation that is forcing departments to draft APPs in a particular way. But this is not sufficient reason for the staff of the DPWI and the PMTE to be lethargic in responses and not agile and innovative enough in responses. The audit outcomes, this is from the audit action plan. The audit plan presentation was a very nice history lesson, but it did not give us sufficient evidence that there was an actual new plan. This plan stems from very long ago and really just listed the same things that we've always heard. There were audit improvements from 2012 onwards, and this had to do with the 2011 turnaround plan of the previous minister and the administration, which really had the effect of cleaning up the audit problems of the department. And in spite of me always saying jokingly sometimes that while the problems will merely move to the PMTE, the PMTE also shows improvement. So there has been cleaning up of the audit, but we worry as a committee that there are matters of emphasis that were made last year and the previous year that continues to be made. And the problem is that it might be made this year again. These are related to material impairment and performance information. Of course, the latter looks has to do with the EPWP matter. But we need to, as a committee, this is the sentence here, note that most of the matters were claimed as improvements. It did not mean, however, that the improvements were made to the operational structures of the department. A period that could be termed bad audit opinions, I think I'm just basically repeating myself in this case here, 5.6. Let me go to 5.7, where the presentation on this audit improvement showed that while irregular expenditure improved, material misstatements continued to occur. Matters related to the asset register, such as leases, continue to be a problem due to the continued weakness of the EPWP reporting system. Performance information continued to prevent a clean audit. Now, let me just say something on this, about this. This is a matter that could be fixed. And we stated so in the fifth administration to the department, but this has not been fixed. And that has to do with a performance indicator that the department impossibly can claim as theirs. It actually lies with the public bodies that run these EPWP projects. It's not within the ambit of the department. The department cannot claim that it is going to do it because it's just not for them to do it. Now, if that is the case and that APP is stated there, of course the Auditor General is going to find you, is going to find that you don't have the performance information. And that has to do with the fact that these people are not sending it to you in time. And then you get, you are prevented because you get an emphasis, a matter of emphasis. The GRAP compliant immovable asset register, that remains a matter that needs to be implemented. And as I said earlier on, SAGE and Archibus is supposed to assist with that. This 577, 578, they all relate to the immovable asset register and the plan to get a clean audit. Let me just pause with 578B, this matter. I just want to make this clear so that when we speak about this, members keep it in mind. The EPWP matter relates to the ministerial determination, section 12, Minister of Labour's determination, that if people are employed through EPWP, the departments and entities that employ these people should keep these five pieces of information of every worker. Now, this is why we say that the department cannot be kept responsible for this, and something needs to be done with the Auditor General on that matter so that that APP, that indicator is stated differently so the EPWP can be rid of that emphasis of matter. Instead, what happens is the department travels through the country at huge cost to ensure compliance with Section 12 of that determination. 5710 speaks to it, as well as the others, and the 104 letters that were sent by the acting DG to ensure that accounting officers do that. So, what we have in front of us right now and in red here is just the budgetary allocations, but first of all, reflecting on the lack of a mandatory regime for the department. And then we move to the entities. The reason why this budgetary reference to budgetary review is there has to do with the fact that in every quarterly performance report and BRRR, we referred to this. And this is more specifically this particular white paper. And I put the name here, members, because while this was developed in 1999, it was developed at a period when the reconstruction and development plan was still a structure of government in the office of the president. And in that period, the white paper had the title of Creating an Enabling Environment for Reconstruction, Growth and Development in the Construction Industry. The title suggests that the entities that we're looking at just now, that we're going to look in this section, look at in this section, should enable reconstruction, growth and development of the construction sector. But importantly, that for that to take place, transformation of the sector is crucial. Transformation of constructors and transformation of built environment professions. We'll reflect on that just now when we deal with every single one of the entities. Now, I'm not going to go through the mandates, et cetera, but I want to go straight through to what we debated and deliberated with the CIDB today. And that is, one, the CIDB, we note and we should note that they requested the assistance of the Auditor General and ourselves with a matter of compliance from client departments and municipalities for the BUILD program to succeed. Now, we need to keep in mind what the BUILD program is and that it is an intervention that sets uniform standards for the development skills that contractors require and for them through enterprise development to progress on that contractor register of the CIDB. In that way, we won't have level 1, 2, 3 populated by black women and youth contractors that remain there, but they would move up because they are capacitated. They would move higher on that register. The problem is clearly what is going on here is that we are being begged to assist in terms of engagement. And this report is that type of engagement because it gets published. The matter of compliance from client departments nationally, provincially, but also municipalities so that they employ contractors and assist for them to advance. The board chairperson made a point of saying that while this year's APP does not refer to it, there is a development program for women in construction that consists of a coaching program and awards that is funded by the DPWI. And the objective was to grow it exponentially in coming years. It is possible for members to make a recommendation in that regard. There is currently not one. 4, developing lower grade contractors. We are reflecting on that again. And the build intervention as important there. And then SMME contractors who are underperforming in terms of financial management due to payments for building materials, medical assessments of workers and worker benefits not being standardized across the board on project sites. I think the Honorable Graham Marie made this point, and if it lacks anything, members, anything that you made input on, if it lacks and it's not saying things the way you want it to be said, kindly ring our bell just now when I stop. The CIDB needed to find a mechanism through which to identify and blacklist formations. This is in reference to what is anecdotally referred to as the construction mafias, to blacklist such formations that hold project sites to ransom. The unfortunate result of that is that these blockages cause completion backlogs and increased costs on government project sites. And that is where we then get requests for variations to Treasury, and courts don't get completed, clinics don't get completed, schools and hospitals don't get completed. The grading of contractors should not only be based on criteria such as bank balances and cash flow and the cost to completion of their last contracted project. The committee urged the entity to also take into consideration qualitative criteria such as, and I put it between italics so that it's identifiable, number of projects completed on time and within budget, manner of managing labor relations, and prevention of injuries on work sites. There may be others, members can also list them and we'll add them. The committee urged that to assist oversight over performance towards the stated objective, timelines were needed along which the review of the of this contract register will take place so that we can monitor and do proper oversight. The issue of non-compliance is similar to what we've complained about for a while, and that's the amendment to the CIDB Act that will give a teeth to ensure compliance. Weakness of contractor development framework related to client departments and entities that require CIDB assistance and that project leadership. This is obviously the issue of when a project is on the go, there should be a portion funded for contractor development, and that is not always costed, as well as project management project management leadership that doesn't stay consistent and therefore it's implemented haphazardly. The Competition Commission work with the CIDB finally now resulted in the identification of work. Sorry, I'm jumping somewhere. 10 refers to the act being lined up to come to us, or rather the amendment to the CIDB Act lined up to come to us. And somewhere it seems I missed out on the identification of, that's with the CBE. We'll get there. So let's go to the CBE then. 6-2 are the matters that emerged. Two matters that required urgent attention was that of consistent corporate leadership of boards of each council. I cannot stress the importance of this enough. What happens very often, we need to look at this committee must understand how boards are appointed. And it would be useful for the committee members to look at that. Boards do not become dysfunctional on their own. There are other dynamics at play, and the office of the minister and the department must be brought into the picture in this regard. So the issue of governance, corporate governance of the boards is important, because if they don't correct, then the administrations, the CIDB, the CBE, IDP, and the Agrimo SA cannot function. The administration cannot, they can't do work. They are paralyzed and they collapse. And I have to say, this is what happened to the IDT. We must call a spade and say that things were left when announcements were made for the IDT to stop functioning. Its boards were allowed to just not do its work and not to correct. But this also happens in the CBE with the councils of the built environment professions. And I think I mentioned, whispered somewhere to Inez, that we need to make time over the next 2 years. In the next 2 years, we need to give more attention to the councils, built environment professional councils that exist, and look at how those boards function and how those administration functions. Because the issue of bullying in SACAP and other matters that have to do with transformation, recognition of prior learning, that keep very well capacitated people out of certain built environment professions, these must be spoken about. Because this has the impact, this has the negative impact of on transformation. Transformation doesn't take place if these boards don't function and the administrations work slowly. There's a need for agile, preemptive work and responses by the ministry and departmental officials on these matters. When employee rights are eroded and you hear about it, you should not wait for the media to tell you about it. You should not wait for the committee to tell you about it. Work on it, fix it, and report on your successes. Do not report to us on problems and challenges only. This is what I incorrectly almost put with the CIDB earlier on. The committee noted progress with the identification of work for the BEPCs as an outcome of outstanding, long outstanding work that the CBE and the Competition Commission had to report on. Here is a successful report on that. The CBE's history of doing well to attract people, young people, to mathematics and science and let them go to universities is admirable. The problem is that this matter, the implementation of this structured candidacy program, is crucial. But remember, that candidacy program can exist on paper and you can have human beings actually doing it. But it cannot happen if you don't have well-established built environment profession companies in architecture, engineering, quantity surveying, project management, taking young people on as interns so that they can do their work, compile their profile, and get examined for professional registration. The matter of the SACP CMP was mentioned, and that matter of them being compromised regarding professional registration, both in terms of process and in terms of ongoing training of professionals, is indicated. This is a very interesting matter, the crowding of membership of boards. This totally stops transformation. You get Engineering Council of South Africa that over many years have, where this type of thing has happened, where the Engineering Council, not as a voluntary association alone where this happens, but where very well qualified people move into the other entities, I mean, into the other councils, and they are crowded and transformation stops and other people do not get a chance to be visionary and live out their talent and passions. The Cuban Technical Assistance Program, the DPWI's view needs to be noted. And it needs to also be noted that the CBE had to act as an overarching body so that it cannot be that only when they report to us here, they suddenly say, yes, we should have done this. The CBE should start doing its thing. We note the very useful input of the Deputy Minister in this regard, where she made it clear that there are instances where lethargic reaction is the call of the day rather than innovative and agile work. CBE is responsible for regulatory frameworks. It's concerned about gatekeeping on these boards and registration processes of the BEPCs, and again, reference to the lack of urgency. This is the matter that we need to look at when it comes to both reported bullying, as what happened in SACAP, but then also marginalization of Black women on SACAP, and I think we need to indicate not only SACAP, but the other BEPCs as well. The matter of the IDT, what we have captured here is the sad story of its demise. And then over the last few months, an attempt to get the IDT back on the road. The problem here is, however, that in spite of this long drawn out process, the IDT keeps on being treated as if it is supposed to be funded by government. And we noticed that 162 million that is required for it to actually operate. And it's something that seriously needs attention. I don't want to belabor the points that we made today. And so I'm not going to stick with the IDT's problems right now for too long. Let me move then to, those are all matters that we already dealt with. I want to move members to the actual recommendations. Maybe, yeah, let me go to the recommendations. Just to say to members and put them at ease, put you at ease, members, the matters that I skip has to do with some of the responses from the department and the DM, which we don't need repeating. 7.1, and we are addressing in recommendations, we always address the minister. The minister should ensure that the in-year reporting synergy between the office of the DG and the office of the minister, that there is synergy and that it is strengthened, because for the department to be resilient, ethical, and capable as a department and performing organization, reports on the regularity, structured content, and consistent monitoring is required, because this tendency of one office reporting differently on matters before the committee in its interactions, especially in quarterly performance reports, is becoming very worrying. Members, I refer here to your interactions, our interactions with the department and the PMTE. And often we would have a situation that in closing remarks, what the department says is contradicted by the executive. The minister to ensure that the audit action plan is updated, because it honestly, members, it's the same one that we've always heard. And the steps to make the immovable asset register GRAP compliant to be presented to the committee with this, the technical staff that maintains the register to be in attendance. When they then in attendance, the committee requires a demonstration that shows how Archibus is used to make the IAR complete. Members require the staff to show the immovable asset register in operation. I think this is long outstanding, and I think it's useful. In a previous committee of Public Works and Infrastructure, the committee asked for this to happen, and members could then see that what was said symbolically as operating and claims being made that we know precisely where everything is could not be demonstrated in the committee when the technical staff was asked to do so. 3, the minister to provide a comprehensive report to the committee on consequence management steps that indicate the responsible senior managers, the reports that they present, and the dates when they make these to the minister per month, per quarter, and annually. This report with the relevant detail on outstanding matters of the audit action plan to ensure a clean audit should be with us by the end of August this year. Minister to provide a comprehensive report on the framework that remains outstanding to the committee since the previous financial year to develop the legislative work that is required to strengthen the DPWI. This is the report on how far and when the Public Works Bill will arrive with us, and when the amendments to the CBE and the CIDB Act will be made. These are reports that must be with us by the end of August. A comprehensive report to be made by the end of August this should not be 2020, it should be 2021, my apologies, 2021, on the funding, performance reporting, and accounting flow in which the facilitation and coordination of public infrastructure development will unfold under the Infrastructure South Africa. This is an outstanding matter from the start of this term. Six, ensures that the legislative and regulatory regime is properly aligned to SPLUMA and the IDM framework. This is needed by end August. The DG and the senior management team to complete the establishment of the ICT Executive Committee so that the ICT strategy is aligned to these APPs. This report is outstanding since 2020 and should now reach us by June 2021. That is tomorrow. Eight, instructs the PMTE to report in every quarterly performance report on operations of the call center that has been set up to progress towards scheduled rather than unscheduled maintenance. Members, this is a very important one. Unscheduled maintenance give rise to corruption and malpractice. Scheduled maintenance, they set up a call center that assists with the implementation of scheduled maintenance. We need a first report due by August this year. The branch should, EPWP should, in its quarterly performance reports, when they report to us on the numbers of employment opportunities created, they must report on innovative ways to upskill their beneficiaries in order to reduce the national skills deficit. Urgently, minister, to inform the committee of the plan that remains outstanding on how the IDT will become the social infrastructure development agency. So in place of the IDT, a social infrastructure development agency would be in place. This was a promise that was made and it is still not with us. It should also, the minister should also consider alternatives to continue the initially made plans to restructure the IDT into a social infrastructure delivery agency as per the governance component in the Public Service Act. This report is due 31 July 2021. Minister to improve oversight and monitoring function in her office over all public works and infrastructure entities so that all their governing structures, in other words, the boards, correct, and the serious matter of transformation in each entity is addressed so that the administration of these remain functional and we may even in here add the matter of bullying and transformation in terms of gender, youth, and race. 12, a comprehensive report on expenditure during the COVID-19 disaster period, maybe called pandemic period, and the provision of personal protection equipment and professional services is crucial at the quarantine sites. So we need that in place. My apologies. This report is to be made to the committee by September 2021 and subsequently in every quarterly performance report. 13, legislation to align the mandate of the entities. I don't think we should put it here as IDT, but it should be public works entities, PMTE and W, so that the regulatory power and the enforcement and coordination power is in place. I think that is the end, members. My apologies for falling over my tongue a few times. I am tired. Nobala and Chairperson, that is it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Dazin. Honorable members, Can you go to, we have a recommendation and
what am I having here? Chairperson, you said?
Can you go to recommendations?
There we go.
Yeah. Ooh. Yes. Yes, honorable members, can we start with recommendations? Maybe we can start with a recommendation one or just or let's start with recommendation. Then members will comment on which we want to comment or item number one or two, whatever. Let's just start with recommendations. Any? There you go. What's going on here? I thought. Yeah. Okay. Anything? Honorable Sam, Honorable MacD.
Can I go ahead, Chair? I think the Chair has already recognized you, Honorable Graham. Perhaps you can go ahead.
Thanks, Nolf. I just wanted to say thank you very much to Shuaib for a very detailed, very thorough and well encapsulated report. I do believe it captures pretty much everything that we have raised. I just wanted to say that in terms of the gatekeeping, I forgot to write down the number of that item. I think we're all very tired by today. So Shuaib, you don't need to apologize. I think we're all in the same boat. The gatekeeping in the SACPM, CMP, part of what the issue there is that the people on the examining bodies, so for the final recognition as a health agent, as a construction health agent, the board or the composition of the body that hears that interview or processes that interview is made up of members of that profession. And what is happening is that a person's going up to be recognized as an agent and the people who are making the determination are his competitors in the industry. And then they'll have one vote against them and they don't pass the assessment. And that was when they spoke about the gatekeeping. I do believe that part of what they were talking about in terms of retired professionals and academics related to the composition of the examining bodies as well as the board. I think the board is made up of individuals from the voluntary associations, but those examining bodies are the issue at this stage. So if we can just make that slight tweak. And then I just want to agree with you. I actually think what has happened is that those councils, because the CBE does so well every year, I think the councils have flown under the radar for a very long time. And I think this is why we're starting to see, I mean, the issues around the SACP, CMP emanate from 2014 when the regulations were promulgated with respect to who would be recognized. And in 2013, already the people who are on the board had been recognized under regulations that hadn't even been published yet. So the issues around the councils have been there for a long time, but I think nobody's been hearing them. So I do believe it needs to be a bigger focus of ours going forward, because these are supposed to be where we are drawing our expertise from. This is where we're supposed to be transforming the construction sector from. And I think it's kind of been ignored for a very long time. So maybe I think as part of it, although you said it and I don't recall that you put it in there, I do believe that more attention needs to be paid to the councils and their accountability to the DPWI and to this committee, because at this stage there doesn't seem to be any. So the board and the councils as well must not contribute to unfair competition and conflict of interest. I think if we can just say that. So the governing bodies of the entities and the councils should not contribute to unfair competition or conflict of interest. I think that's all that I would like to add at this stage, but thank you very much for an excellent report.
Thanks, Honorable Sam, Honorable Matisse. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chair, and Shuaib and the whole support team, really a phenomenally well put together document. I would just like to ask that we stress something about addressing leadership deficits across the board, because I think that is one of the biggest problems that we're having within the department, within the PMTE, within the CBE. We have such tremendous leadership deficits, and that is what is creating so many of our problems. With regards to SACAP, Shuaib, I think we really need to add the words, in addition to bullying, we need to add sexual harassment, I'm afraid. We also need to add serious, very, very serious governance challenges that have taken place, and they are not just recent. They are not, we're not only looking at the governance challenges that have been revealed as a result of the harassment. It's governance challenges that have been for many years in the offing. And somewhere along the line, again, if we can, the marginalization of Black women, but serious governance challenges. And just one other, and these governance challenges have been around since the previous administration, since the previous term, I mean. And that they are really ongoing and they have never really been addressed. I also want to somewhere bring in the fact that there is a trust deficit, a very, very strong trust deficit, not only at SACAP, but in so many of the entities. And we really and truly need to address that, because if we don't address it, the rot is going to get much worse. But sure, that's all I can add, because Shuaib, really phenomenal, phenomenal work. Thank you so much. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. Nola.
I'm in, Chair. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And I have my hand up, Chair.
Oh, you can speak, Honorable Matebula.
Thank you very much,
on
Chair.
On recommendation.
Chair, okay, now thank you very much, Chair. I think part of what we need to add as part of the recommendation, Chair. Well, the issue of misconduct by our employees, I think it is very important that we add the fact that we comply or we stick to the time that are stipulated in our policies, so that we are able to deal with whatsoever misconduct and we are not found wanting that in this particular instance. And again, I also want to, add the fact that we have seen that in some many instances, our officers, they actually, set targets, and those targets don't get to be, reached. Now, I think we need to emphasize the fact that we kind of need to ensure that these things, they are part of their performance agreement with the department. And in an event that it happens that they are not sticking to that, we must make it clear that there's going to be punitive effects that are going to be affected to them, because at the end of the day, sir, it is the department that underperforms, not just that particular individual official. So it is for that reason that I want to add this, that it must, we must make sure that we punish those who do not live up to the targets that are actually set. So I think basically that's what I wanted to raise. I must also say that what has been reported on all the recommendations as they have been set out, they are fine. I'm fine with it, except what I have added, Chair. Thank you very much.
Can I come in, Chair? I see you're not recognizing me.
You are recognized, member.
Okay. Yes, you can, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Chair. I actually didn't think there's anything else that we can add, because this report captures all our concerns and issues, even those that we haven't thought about. But Chairperson, I think we need to say something when we deal with the department on a continuous basis. Even today, we see that they're not really serious or taking it serious, the issue of the filling of vacant funded posts. And I think it might be one of the reasons might be the vacancies at senior management level. But I think we need to say something regarding the tiniest filling of vacant funded posts, and also that all senior management posts or if we can attach a timeline, like within 6 months or less than 6 months, so we don't have this situation where we go on months and years at end with acting people that's making a really putting strain on some individuals. And then, Chairperson, I'm not sure if I've seen this issue being captured here, but in terms of the self-sufficiency of the IDT and not for them to make sure that they're not relying on government grants. Because I know that was one of the main reasons why we had to somehow rescue them, because they became a burden on the fiscus. And now the plans that they have in place is somehow as if it's a normal thing that they are entitled to government grants, and not seeing it as a bailout when they were in finding themselves in financial difficulties. So we can just, I know sure AP is excellent in, is already dealing with that issue. Thank you very much, Chair. I pause there.
Thanks, honorable members. I think we are, all of us, we are. Mark, do you want to say something? Your hand is up.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I've just thought of something else. One of the problems, if I may, that created the, in inverted commas, demise of the IDT was this reliance on government money. And then it was closing, then it wasn't, and it was that uncertainty. We have to ensure that the problems that we saw with the IDT do not now replicate themselves in the PMTE. We have to ensure that the PMTE doesn't go the same way as the IDT went, where because of so much strain that is being put on us and so many things that are not being dealt with, just being put forward as problems within the PMTE. I don't know if I'm making myself clear. I'm just concerned that we don't see the PMTE going the way the IDT went, where it had to be business rescued, so to speak. It was just a thought that popped into my tired brain.
Are you done, ma'am?
I am, thanks, Chair.
Okay, thanks, ma'am. I see no hand. Jason? Fred, are you okay? Can we go to finding? We are done with recommendation.
Chair, I'm hesitating to go to findings because we are going to do the same thing. Because what I've done, like I did last year, after every deliberation, there was findings, and the findings is then reflected in the recommendation. So if the recommendations are in this way, that's why you would notice, as members were referring to things now, you would notice I say see deliberations here by 717, move to recommendations, because that is under the deliberation as findings, and I'm just moving that here. So it would assist if members could indicate whether I have the right to move those findings as in blue, and the one that the Honorable Hicklin just referred to, because there is one in that way around the PMTE and the IDT, because the trajectory and the trends are the same. If I could get an indication from the committee through the moving and adoption, whether one could then amend and send it through to the committee within a day. I will need, today is Tuesday, I will need, I could have it to you on Thursday morning.
Oh, okay.
But that depends on, of course, Nobala stepping in and then also guiding procedurally further.
Okay, yes, Nola?
Yes, Chair. Thank you. Can I ask this procedurally? The meeting is able to adopt the report with amendments, as we usually do, and then Shoaib would then forward the amended version thereafter before we can finally send it through for ATC. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thanks, Nola.
I would therefore then formally move that we adopt the report with the necessary amendments that still needs to be done. And thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Van Spalvik. A seconder, please.
I'd like to second, Chairperson, please.
Thank you so much, Honorable Sam. Second. We are done with the report, the minutes.
Chair?
Yes?
Chairperson, just a question. Could the committee please put it on record that it is okay if I send it to you on Thursday in the morning?
Yes, Honorable Sam, agree.
Thank you.
And Matt, agree. All of us agreed. Thursday is okay, Baba.
Thank you, Mom.
Okay. All right, Honorable Chairperson, through you, if I may, the first set of minutes that we'll adopt is the minutes of the meeting that was held on the 17th of March, 2021, where the committee was dealing with a report by the DPW on work completed to strengthen its mandate with specific reference to the draft public works bill. We also considered and adopted the petition report of Mr. August. One of the agenda items was the consideration and adoption of minutes of the previous meeting. At this point, Honorable Chair, I would like the honorable members to zoom through the attendance list to see if there are any anomalies that could be corrected. And then we'll move over to the resolutions because we had already dealt with the presentation at the time. Oh, before we go to the resolutions, the consideration and adoption of the report of the petition report from Mr. August, the report was indeed adopted as it's stipulated in the minutes. Honorable Graham Murray, seconded by Honorable Hicklin, moved for the adoption of the report. It was adopted with amendments. We also considered and adopted minutes of the meeting that was held on the 16th of March, which was the day before the meeting in question. Honorable Van Schalkwyk, seconded by Honorable Matibula, move for the adoption, and the minutes were adopted. The committee was also reminded that there were oral submissions on the expropriation bill that was scheduled for the 24th and 25th of March. So a report of those was then submitted. Moving to the resolutions, just swiftly, Honorable Chairperson, it was resolved that there were matters that the department needed to deal with and that needed to be factored into the draft Public Works Bill, which was one, the White Paper 1997 entitled Public Works Towards the 21st Century, and White Paper of 1999 that speaks to the transformation of the construction industry and professional built environment that had to remain as a resource and therefore part of the process to craft the Public Works and Infrastructure Bill. On point number two, on the same 7.1 bullet, it says the unpacking of public works as a concurrent function in Schedule 4 of the Constitution impacts on the coordination of public works and infrastructure across the three levels of government. It also relates to how the PMTE collects debt from other departments, how the immovable asset register is maintained, as well as how the rates and services are paid to municipalities. Chair, I think I shouldn't go through all of them. My assumption is that the minutes were sent through to the members. That was in March already, so perhaps I could just move to the last resolution, which was that the committee must be briefed and provided with a full report about the consultative processes underway to review the public works and infrastructure entities during the second term. And the meeting, therefore, adjourned at 11 o'clock. Thank you very much, Chair. Over to you.
Thanks, Nola. Any hand for members? Honorable Van Schalkwyk.
I move for adoption, Chairperson, of the minutes.
Seconder, please.
I'll second it, Chair.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, Nola, we are done with the minutes of March.
All right, thank you, Chair. I'm trying to fly to the next set of minutes, which should be... I'm trying to get to it. For some reason, it's just not visible here.
I think even your computer is tired, Nola.
It probably is. It's been working over time. The battery is actually not in a good condition. I'm worried that it may burst any time. All right. Are you able to, Honorable Member, see the minutes on your screen?
Not yet, ma'am.
Nothing.
Not just yet. Let me try again. Okay, Chair, I would like to request just 1 minute. I'm trying to go back into it.
I was in the dial this afternoon. John Steenhuisen.
something not showing. Sure, Chairperson. I think I've got a lot of windows open, actually. That's the reason why. Finally, we are there. Is it visible on the screen?
Yes, ma'am. For May 2021.
Yes, thank you, Slav. That's the next set of minutes that the committee would like to consider and adopt. The meeting was held on the 4th of May in 2021, where we were having a briefing by the DPWI and PMTE on the audit action plan. The department and the PMTE also briefed us on the strategic plan and APP. I would also like on this one, Chairperson, for the members to zoom into their attendance list to see if there's anything that needs to be amended. All right, moving right along. Basically, just of the minutes, exactly what we've just gone through with the report, because all the information that's contained in the report would have been derived from this meeting as well as today's earlier meeting. So, Chair, as you may notice, there were no resolutions in the main, because then the resolutions based on the presentation by the department in PMTE would have then translated into the recommendations that were just considered in the report. Over to you, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Nola. Any hand?
I move for adoption,
Chair. Honorable Van Stelwijk, move the adoption of the minutes.
I'm happy to second, Chair.
Come again, ma'am.
I'm happy to second.
Oh, Honorable Graham Mare, second. Thank you. Yes, Nola.
Thank you, Chair. That should be all. The next the minutes of today's meeting will most probably be dealt with in the following meeting, because we need to just factor in the stuff that's also on the report, because it was also speaking to the entities. From my side, Honorable Chairperson, I just would like to thank the team that has put together the report. And I would also like to just make an announcement and remind the Honorable Members that the public hearings in KZN are scheduled to start next week on Thursday. The logistics team will be in contact with the Honorable Members in terms of their travel itineraries. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Nola. Thanks again for the report. You always do your job very well. Thank you so much, and the members of this committee, thanks so much. Good night.
Chair.
Yes, Pastor.
Chair. Thank you, Chair. Could I just make a request, Chair, particularly for perhaps the smaller parties and those of us who actually have a number of committees that we have to get to. Today, for example, was a typical day where we had jumping between committees as well as the plenary. It makes it easier if all of the PowerPoints and the presentations and I know sometimes they get sent to us perhaps a week or so in advance. But it makes it easier if we actually also get it either on the day or the day before. I raised this with the trade and industry, and at first it was rejected, and then finally they said, no, we see reason and sense in it. And so trade and industry actually does that. And I know sometimes it's a bit of a duplication, but what actually happens is that it makes it easier for someone like me, having to, between the first when, for example, the last set of minutes was actually sent, 1st of May. And now I've had, about 100 or so emails. And so now you're searching for the email with regards to the minutes, whereas if it was just sent either this morning or even yesterday, then there's everything that we are discussing all in one package. And it just makes it easier, I think, for for members within the smaller parties. So could I recommend and please beg the indulgence of the secretariat if they could do that. It just makes it easier instead of me sitting and having to search through, you know, lots of emails to find where the minutes were and when they were sent. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable.
Can I quickly come in there, Chairperson?
Yes, Honourable Van Stalweg.
I am not opposing to the recommendation made or the proposal made by Honourable String. I think what the Secretary is doing is when she sends us the link to the meeting, she also includes most of the time the relevant documentation. I think that will be sufficient if it can be done, because it's usually closer to the meeting. So when you get the link, then you get all the relevant documentation as well. Thank you.
I think that will be perfect, even if it's with the link. Thank you, Honorable Sharon.
Chairperson?
Yes, Nola?
Thank you, Honorable Faskalkwe, for covering me partly. But just through your chair, trying to respond to Honorable Singh's comment, the challenge is not entirely with the support personnel. Actually, we've never had a challenge with sending documents on time. The challenge has always been with the department. It becomes difficult then for us as well, because we are currently busy with public hearings, and then we'd find that the department sends through documents on a Sunday, if the meeting is going to be on a Tuesday, for instance, or on a Monday while we are traveling to provinces. So it becomes really difficult. And last week, I think the committee dealt with this issue through the chairperson. And therefore, the minister still stated that they'll improve. But, you know, there's really no improvement. It also makes our work difficult, because we have to also go through the same documents before the meeting and be able to provide content advice and research advice to the portfolio committee. So it's an issue that's been ongoing for a while. We've been trying to resolve it with the department, but it looks like it's still a problem. With the previous PLO, it was better, because we sat down as the support team from both the ministry as well as the support personnel from the portfolio committee. And so a resolution was taken in that we would expect the documents at least on a Thursday if a meeting is either on a Tuesday or on a Monday, so that the members could have ample time to engage the information on the documents. However, with the new PLO, I think she's still battling to grapple through issues and to try to find, to put a ducks in a row. But we slowly but surely will try to get the Honourable Chairperson. The challenge that she stated, I mean, I'm not speaking on her behalf, but the challenge that she stated was that the documents come through from the department late, and the minister still has to also go through the documents and the information. Most of the times, she has to often revert the document back to the department for them to analyze and make more inputs on it before it can be sent to the portfolio committee. So that's where we're sitting. So having said that, the department needs to clear the issues up and make sure that they get the documents to us on time. Thank you, Chair. Can I please smuggle one more issue before you close, Chair?
Before you go to the next item on this item of the documents, I think it's an exhaustive issue, and we really need to find another way to deal with this issue. And because it's making it very difficult for us. Like today was a very extremely difficult day for us, having all those presentations, having to deal with it within 24 hours, and having a lot of pressure of the program of today. So I would formally want to raise that this matter should be referred to the MANCO to deal with it effectively in a way that they would suit best for this problem to be addressed as soon as possible. Thank you.
Chairperson, can I go ahead with the second issue that I was about to talk to?
Yes, Nola.
All right, Honorable Chair, I would like to share an invitation. We've got an invitation from the Minister as well as the President of the country.
regarding the Tafelkop Farmers Title Deed Handover, which will be held in Groblersdal in Limpopo. I've already flighted the letter on the screen, but in the main, the date is Saturday, the 22nd of May, and the venue is Loskop Farm in Groblersdal in Limpopo. The program will commence at 11 and end at 1 o'clock. So we are requested to therefore send through the information of the members that will be attending by no later than Thursday. I would like the committee to note, therefore, that we have a scheduled public hearing program in KZN during the same period. So I'm not sure, Chairperson, how we're going to deal with this one. Can I beg your indulgence on the matter? Thank you.
Thanks, Nola. We spoke as members about this last, I can't remember, I think we were in Northwest, if I'm not mistaken, and Honorable Sam and Honorable Mashele, I think both of them are available to go. That is two members, I'm sure of.
Chairperson?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to establish whether the two members will be moving from KZN, because the committee will already be in KZN at the time. So would we need to make arrangements for the members to move from KZN to Groblersdal and then come back on the same day? Or would they need to sleep over on that side? I'm asking this question for logistics purposes because Tabi, who's the leader of the logistics team, is here. So we need to just clarify those matters so that we can get into the process of arranging the itineraries. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Sam, can you speak?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, Knowles, I was thinking, I mean, I want to be obviously at as many hearings as I can be. So I was thinking if I could fly from KZN to Joburg on Friday evening, stay over in Joburg and then travel up and do the handovers and everything, drive back, sleep in Joburg or wherever, and if possible, fly back to KZN for the Sunday hearing. If that would be possible, that would be awesome. Because obviously I don't want to be missing hearings. So if that is possible, looking at the times that are provided, it might very well be, but I don't know where we'll be on Sunday in KZN and how difficult it'll be to get to the venue on Sunday morning. So if we can do that or fly Saturday night into KZN, sleep in Durban or something, and then meet up with the rest of the team on Sunday, if possible. And then obviously our normal flight back on Monday if that's okay. I don't know if Honorable Mashele wants to do the same, but I would really like to do that if we can.
Yes, Nola. Thanks, Honorable Grandmare. Honorable Mashele will do the same.
Chair, I think Honorable Mashele has wanted to speak. I'm not sure if he was going to say the same thing.
Oh, okay. Speak. Yes, Honorable Mashele.
I'm in agreement with what you have said, Chair.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Chair. From our side, then Tabi will be in touch with the members to try and find ways around the logistics. Thanks, Chair.
The only person I don't think she's still here is Honorable Suisa. So you can talk to her after this meeting.
Chair, Honorable Suisa is online. I'm not sure if she is able to hear us.
I'm here, Chair.
Oh, okay. Honorable Suisa.
I'll speak with Nola after the meeting.
Yes, okay.
Okay, yes.
On Nola?
No, I'm done. Thank you so much, Chair.
Okay. Honorable members, thanks for your time. I think the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.